Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomasins, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking? The USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along, and you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let us drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep clothing, we know that you're just a wolf. Alright,
all over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator, no apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who's proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
For Barack is soon to set sail. Vote for O is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. A poet you can stick to with work on this campaign trail. It's issue with integrity, it's just very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Alright. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. Today's date is July 13th, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I want to start off by talking about Obama's statements that were made about us as Americans not being able to keep some of our money, that our money, the money that we make, you and me, belongs to the government, that there's a certain amount of money that we're allowed to keep. Karen's in the house, conservative TNT, Richard Martin. There's a certain amount of money that we should not be allowed to keep, or rather that we should, whether or not we should be allowed to keep it. Barack Obama has shown his hand on numerous occasions when he suggested that he believes that there is a point when we, I suppose he means the American people, have made too much money. Have you heard anything so ludicrous in all your life? Who is he to decide whether or not you, me, or anybody else has made too much money? Think about that for just a moment. Barack Obama has suggested on more than one occasion that you and I have made too much money. Now, Barack Obama's press conference the other day, in which he only took questions from left-leaning reporters, apparently, contained an amazing statement. And it should be noted, the first two instances of the first-person singular pronoun in the sentence refers to Barack Obama, President of the United States. Second, to refer to Barack Obama, taxpaying citizen. Here's a statement, and I quote, "And there is, of course, nothing whatsoever." Well, I'll tell you what. Here it is, verbatim. I'm not going to put anything into it. Quote, "And I do not want, and I will not accept, a deal in which I am asked to do nothing. In fact, I am able to keep hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional income that I don't need, while a parent out there who is struggling to figure out how to send their kid to college suddenly finds that they've got a couple thousand dollars less in grants or student loans." Now, I say this, and I hope that you'll agree with me. Barack, dude, if you want to give up all your jack, all your money, to put a needy kid through college, I applaud you. And as I think that most others would as well. Give up all your money. Give up half. I don't care. I think it's laudable. There is, of course, nothing whatsoever stopping Barack Obama, taxpaying citizen, from donating his excess cash to the United States Treasury. But his statement demonstrates an astonishing economic illiteracy, to be sure. Someone earning a great deal of money has an income greater than what he spends. You can only spend so much on luxurious living, however hard you try. Believe me, I've tried. A reality so rich with comic possibilities that a 1902 novel called Brewster's Million, 1902, not the movie with Richard Pryor, has been made into movies no fewer than 9 times, including the one with Richard Pryor. But unlike Scrooge McDuck, the rich do not put the excess in a vast money bin and frolic about in it. They invest it. They invest their money. What a concept, I know. And Karen in the chat room says that her parents always said charity begins at home. Exactly. So Barack, give up all your bread, dude. Show us how it's done. What a concept. What does Obama think new capital comes from? The tooth fairy? It's nothing more than the excess of income over outgo. We all study this in class and college and economics and high school. to take away the income the rich don't need and spend it on social programs and capital formation in this country drops to zero. This man is supposed to be brilliant, a genius. Chris Matthews said that he has 160 IQ. He can't figure out basic economics, basic macroeconomics, or count to five. So determined is Obama to deprive the rich of excess income, as defined by him, of course, he's even willing to adversely impact government income in order to do so. Now, check this out. This colloquy between Obama and ABC's Charles Gibson in 2008, in a 2008 debate with Hillary Clinton. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Got it right here. Mr. Gibson says, in each instance, when the capital gains tax rate dropped, revenues from the tax increased. The government took in more money. And in the 1980s, when the tax was increased to 28%, the revenues went down. And in so why raise it at all, especially given the fact that 100 million people in this country own stock and would be affected? Then Senator Obama's response was this.
Well, Charlie, what I said is that I would look at raising the capital gains tax for purposes of fairness.
Fairness. What an idiot. Mr. Gibson responds, but history shows that when you drop the capital gains tax, the revenues go up. Senator Obama responds,
Well, that might happen or it might not. It depends on what's happening on Wall Street and how business is going.
All right, this guy's a clown and an idiot and a moron. Obviously, he's no genius. Or is he just goofing? Anybody have any idea? Because actually it doesn't. Every single time, folks, capital gains tax rates have gone up, revenues have gone down and vice versa. High capital gains tax rates, because the tax liability is only incurred when an asset is sold, have the effect of locking in capital, which is economically pernicious, preventing capital from flowing to its most productive, i.e. wealth creating use. What's up? What's really going on here? All right, so we have a couple of choices. Either Obama simply is an idiot, or he simply doesn't understand how business works, how basic economics work, and how the government benefits from people actually working, from capital gains tax being low. All this guy knows is tax, 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 and more tax. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Study economics. A free economy will not break down. All depressions are caused by government interference.
That we should strip away regulations, consumer protections, let the market run wild, and prosperity would rain down on all of us. It hasn't worked out that way.
The cure is always offered so far, to take more of the poison that caused the disaster.
And so now we've got to take some decisive action. This plan's one reason that mortgage interest rates are now at near historic lows. To that end, we've launched a program designed to support the markets for more affordable auto loans, student loans, and small business loans, a program that's already securitized more of this lending in the last week than in the last 4 months combined.
Depressions are not a result of a free economy. labor leaders get together to initiate legislation to help labor. That is only acting on the same principle, namely all parties agreeing that it is proper for the state to legislate in favor of one economic group or another.
Middle class need a rescue package. It means help for homeowners so that they can stay in their homes. It means that we are helping state and local governments set up road projects and bridge projects. You need somebody working for you, and you've got to have somebody in Washington who's thinking about the middle class and not just those who can afford to hire lobbyists.
The country is run by majority rule through ballot, and that majority seems to prefer to vote for this modified welfare state.
Oh, I don't believe that. You know as well as I do that the majority today has no choice.
As President of the United States, Alan, I would order the Secretary of the Treasury to immediately buy up the bad home loan mortgages in America.
The second step we took was to launch a plan to stabilize the housing market. Yesterday, Secretary Geithner announced a new plan that will partner government resources with private investment to buy up the assets that are preventing our banks from lending money.
What do you mean?
The majority has never been offered a choice between control and freedom.
Until we stabilize home values in America, we're never going to start turning around and creating jobs.
The strategy to create jobs?
Fixing our economy.
That's why we put in place a comprehensive strategy designed to attack this crisis on all fronts. But we must remember that we can get there if we travel that road as one nation, as one people.
Is that not true?
No, it isn't.
Oh.
This country was made not by robber barons, but by independent men, by industrialists who succeeded on sheer ability.
And having...
By ability, I mean without political force, help, or compulsion.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper, and I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
All right, we're back. You know, You know, it's taken 3 decades. Three. But Americans are finally living through Jimmy Carter's second term. We thought he was gone. No such luck. But the good news, folks, is that Jimmy Carter brought us Ronald Reagan. Who will Barack Obama bring us? Because now we've got Jimmy Jr. barking at us from the White House about eating our peas and ripping off Band-Aids. He might even let us have our Social Security checks if we play nice and kiss his ass. He might. These are just the latest in the long line of nagging lectures. Already we have been taught how we should sneeze into the crook of our arm, that we need to drive less, and we need to chalk up those caulk up those drafty houses of ours. Whatever happened to the soaring rhetoric and big, bold ideas President Obama promised us in that historic election of his? Well, I tell you what, the thing about eating the peas and all that, that's because he didn't have a teleprompter to put all that lofty rhetoric in his head to tell him what to say. But what happened to all that? Is this what he meant by a new kind of politics? If so, no thank you. Oh, and it's not new. Jimmy already dragged us through all this once, and we just barely survived it. One of the most unpleasant things about Mr. Carter was the condescending disdain he could barely disguise for struggling Americans and their irritating malaise. Southern sense is in the house. Increasingly, Jimmy Jr. is having difficulty concealing that very same disdain for us as the political winds around him turn hostile and all of his bright ideas lie fallen, sprawled all over the linoleum like a six-pack full of broken promises. Nothing more than socialist hocus-pocus. But even Mr. Carter never laid bare so badly and plainly as Mr. Obama or Jimmy Carter Jr. did earlier this week in his deep-seated contempt for those annoying, the annoying process that we call democracy. It's just getting in the way. The problem with reaching a deal to raise the debt ceiling, he explained in a long, annoying, whining sermon, is that there is this huge wave of Republicans who won control of the House in the last election by promising not to raise any more taxes and to cut the absurd overspending that has driven this country, this town that I am in right now, Washington, D.C., for decades and decades. He bemoaned in public that these Republicans are more concerned about the next election rather than doing what's right for the country. In other words, he is saying the honorable thing would be for these Republicans to ignore the expressed wishes of voters, break their campaign promise, and raise taxes anyway. As for the whole problem of Washington spending us into oblivion, it's the fault of those stingy taxpayers and stupid voters. And what we really need is Jimmy Jr., who knows what is best for us despite what we may think. Continuing his lecture Mr. Obama then complained about American political process, where folks are rewarded for saying irresponsible things to win elections. How did this man get past sixth grade social studies, much less Iowa? This brilliant genius, Chris Matthews, says he has a 160 IQ. When Mr. Obama finished his sermon about the contemptible Republicans keeping faith with their voters like a bunch of chumps, he then turned to his own intentions and revealed even more of his contempt for you and me. All this talk about raising revenues, the deceitful line he used to describe raising taxes, it's all been very unhelpful, he said, or most unhelpful. He said, I want to be crystal clear. Let me be crystal clear, he said. Nobody has talked about increasing taxes now. Nobody has talked about increasing taxes next year. So when would these tax hikes that he's demanding take effect? In 2013. Well after Obama must face voters for re-election. Nice try. Lucky for us, it appears more and more unlikely every day that we will have to suffer through a third term of Jimmy Carter's. Thank goodness. One Jimmy Carter and a half is enough. Now, every day, every single day, oh, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. Every day, conservative media outlets devote incredible amounts of column inches, pixels, and airtime to criticize President Obama and his administration. Conservatives comprehensively hammer Obama for his fiscal policies, spending policies, military policies, social policies, regulatory policies, labor policies, education policies, and foreign policies, plus any other policy which failed to make this list. In such chronic disparagement, is it reasonable? Is it reasonable, folks? Am I being unreasonable? Is the conservative media being unreasonable? Obama deserves to get cut a bit of slack every now and then, doesn't he? Shouldn't we cut him just a little slack? Reflect just for a moment on Gray's Law. Any sufficiently advanced incompetence is indistinguishable from malice. And the laws variously attributed. Never ascribe to malice that which is adequately explained by incompetence. Finish reflecting. Those are lousy choices, malicious or incompetent. Either way, America, we can do better. President Obama and national Democrats have much to answer for. America's barely discernible economic growth is insufficient to accommodate job seekers. Unimaginably, the national debt has skyrocketed more than $5 trillion in only 3 years. Food and fuel prices continue to climb, and the housing market is as bad as it was 3 years ago. To support $5 trillion in deficit spending in 3 years, the Federal Reserve has tried two rounds of, quote, quantitative easing, end quote, a euphemism for printing astonishingly amounts of money to buy back or monetize our own debt. All that new unbacked liquidity cheapens our currency, inflates prices for commodities, food, and fuel among them, and threatens hyperinflation. Imagine the Weimar Republic just before Hitler took office, where the citizens of Germany were literally pushing wheelbarrows of money of German mark to buy a loaf of bread, a piece of meat. It can happen here with more and more quantitative easing, printing money out of thin air. Unemployment is 9.2%. Above 15% if those who have abandoned hope of finding work are counted. Unemployed Americans are falling off the tax rolls. Those still employed are made to do more with less at work and at home. Welfare is expanding, and record numbers of Americans are receiving food stamps. Entitlement commitments for federally mandated Medicare and Social Security are unsustainable. How many times? You know what? Can I ask you something? When did these words come into play? Unsustainable. I learned that word in high school. In college, we used it a time or two. I don't recall ever using the word unsustainable in my career. There was no need to. But now the word is very commonplace here in our language. Along with that very annoying, it is what it is. Unsustainable, it is what it is, vitriol, which is a word that I had never had a use for or a call to use until the Obama administration. Under Obama's watch, I have had to use the word or read the word unsustainable at least once a day, vitriol 2-3 times a day, and it is what it is, numerous times since this man became president. It is what it is. Obama is a clown and an imbecile, an empty suit, if you will. Yet, welfare is expanding, and record numbers of Americans are out of work. And what does this president want to do? Raise taxes. Oh, no, not just yet, but after he's hoped to be reelected. Entitlement commitments for federally mandated Medicare and Social Security are out of control. The administration resists reforms, and the administration and fellow Democrats in Congress haven't submitted an annual budget that rules require. Now that the White House and House Republicans have reached an impasse over raising the debt ceiling, the president says that congressional Republicans must grow up. How many times has he said that? We must grow up and eat our peas. I find the peas to be quite tasty, especially if you mix in a little butter. Oh, but we've got to eat our peas. This from the genius, the anointed one, the Lord High, the Barack Obama, the Almighty. Eat our peas and do something the Democrats could have done but would not do in the last 2 years. They held the White House and both houses of Congress, both. But they want to pass a tax hike in the middle of a recession. Cut spending, tax or entitlement reform, those are not factors in the Democrats' calculus. Who could be naive enough to think that reversing the policies that got America into this mess might get us out? We have a call on the line. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, there she is.
I have some news for you today.
Really? My birthday?
It's your birthday?
No, it's not.
Oh, but the president made a lot of money this month, didn't he?
The president?
good.
Yeah, he sure did. He's racking in the cash, or at least that's what we hear.
What you say?
Yeah, I said at least that's what we hear. He's raking in the cash.
Well, somebody must like what he's doing.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Mays. Democrats don't really have anybody else.
Republicans don't
put
have
up
nobody
against,
yet because they can't even make up who they want. They got to They got to stumble all over. I tell you which one they trying to pick, the one that can be the next. They're trying to put up against the president.
Who?
Whatever they find out there.
Mays, let me ask you this.
What?
Antoinette's in the house. How you doing? Antoinette, glad you're here. Hey, listen, let me ask you this. You've indicated on numerous occasions that you are independent.
Did I say I was independent? I said I was not a Democrat or a Republican.
That's right. You're not a Democrat or a Republican. So that would make you an independent, right?
No.
What would that make you?
Human, un-American.
No.
That goes the way she wants.
If you're not a Democrat or a Republican, what are you politically? What
I don't wear labels.
Okay. You have a name, don't you, Mays?
That's my name.
Well, that's a label. So you do wear labels.
No, I don't.
Mays.
That's my name that was given to me.
Mays, that a name is
at
label.
Birth, and
so
I didn't have a choice today.
So listen, Mays.
I'm
if
listening.
You were voting Republican, who would you vote for?
None of them.
Who would be your choice?
Not a one.
So then you are a Democrat or you're a socialist.
No, I'm not.
Well, come on, Mays. You can't
because
have it.
The only thing they're running against is.
Will you vote for Barack Obama this
yes,
go around?
Yes, I will. I'm sure I'm going to. I already gave him some money.
All right. How much you give him?
Why do you need to know?
I'm just asking.
Maybe I was one of the ones that gave $68 or maybe $100, maybe more.
How much did you give him?
Well, that's not why I called you. I just called to tell you he made some money this month.
Okay, yeah. Well,
and people are giving to him.
Even the worst preacher gets some money in the collection plate.
And you talk about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was a decent person and a good president. We just had
Okay.
Yeah.
Mays, you know what? I think you're great. I respect you. I think you're wonderful. But you have obviously been at the bottle.
No, the aliens come. I think y'all deal with the aliens.
You've been drinking. You've been at the cooking. You've been at the cooking sherry again.
I don't drink.
Okay.
I drink tea.
All right. Okay.
Now you want to know what flavor I drink?
No. Jimmy Carter was a good president.
Yes.
Is that right?
And a normal person, too.
Okay. And you just called to tell me that Obama pulled in a bunch of jack.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That's what you think about it.
Thank you, mate. Mays, now let me tell you what I think.
Oh, and I got to tell you about.
Even Hitler and Mussolini had followers. Barack Obama's different. Barack Obama's no. Different. Hey, Antoinette. Barack Obama is the equivalent of the two in that people idolize him and they agree with him just because, not because they know all the facts. I spoke earlier today with my friend Maria. I talked about her yesterday. I attempted to reason with her, not to offer my opinion about what Barack Obama is doing as it relates to how he would like to have my money to give to someone else. His own words. I offered to
play. Why would he like to have, your
play,
money?
I offered to play his own words to her. She refused to hear it. She continued to make excuse after excuse after excuse for this man, even to the point to say that what he said, he really didn't mean it that way. He meant it this way. Or maybe that's not what he meant. Or maybe that's not what he said. There are always going to be people who are going to kiss this man's butt because they think he's black and they think that he's all about the little guy and about, you know, black people have been looking for a sense of pride forever. Minorities have been looking for this unattainable sense of pride, something they didn't get at home, they didn't get from their mom and daddy, they didn't get it anywhere. They grew up starved for pride and belonging, which is why most black folks have named themselves three or four different times since I've been born in 1962, from Negro to Black to African American, because there's no sense of pride and belonging. So we have to keep trying to reinvent ourselves in order to try to capture just a little bit of pride. So along comes a man who, not bad looking, wears a nice suit, speaks relatively well when a prompter's in front of him, and kind of looks like us. The first Black president of the United States. It doesn't matter that the guy is running this country into the ground. It doesn't matter that he's completely incompetent. It doesn't matter that he would like to see this country brought to its knees. He's Black. He's instilled a sense of pride in the African-American community. So it doesn't matter. No matter what he does, folks are going to find certain segment of the population, including my friend Maria, who is Puerto Rican, you're going to find a reason to stick up for this guy. Because to admit that Barack Hussein Obama is incompetent is to suggest that you're incompetent too, because he is the same as you. You're Black, he's Black. To admit that the guy's a lunatic and an idiot is to suggest that, well, even though we got a Negro in the White House, he's just dumb and has the brains, doesn't have the brains God gave my dog, Nick, my Rottweiler. And so then that brings the whole race down, right back down into the doldrums of obscurity and insecurity. Because the one Black man who managed to make it to the White House is a moron and an incompetent. So you guys are going to do whatever it takes. And it's like the emperor has no clothes. He's buck naked. And you're going to say he's dressed immaculately. Am I right, Maze?
No, you're not right.
Okay.
But still, I'm saying, when you was discussing the idea of what color we are, well, see, the government gave me my color when they chose what color I should be. Since they've changed their name so many times, who had to approve of it? Hello?
Maze.
I asked you a question.
Listen there.
I'm
going to answer your question right here and now.
But my birth certificate says
No. Let me ask you a question.
I'm just telling you.
I'm
going to
ask you a question. Whoever gave you the title, I don't know where the title Negro came from. I honestly don't know. I will look it up, and if you call in tomorrow, I'll have an answer.
I didn't ask you where that come from.
But
I'm
let me Don't interrupt. Listen. I don't know where the title Negro came from. I don't know where it originated, but I will find out. But you and I, Maze, I don't know how old you are, but I suspect that you were born somewhere around the same time I was. Negro is on my birth certificate. I have a copy around here somewhere. I saw it recently. Negro's on my birth certificate. From the time I was born until right now, I'm 49 years old, I have been Negro, then Black on official documents, government documents, and then African-American on official documents. It doesn't matter how we got these titles or who bestowed them upon us. We accept them. A lot of you all do. I'm just American. I don't call myself Black, Negro, or African-American. I detest African-American label for me. But you accept it, Maze. I'm sure you have called yourself an African-American on numerous occasions. Don't try to say that you haven't. To be on this planet for nearly 50 years and have been Negro, Black, and African American all in the span of a short lifetime is embarrassing. So now back to what I was talking about. Barack Hussein Obama is all about fooling you. You've been fooled. You've been bamboozled, you've been hoodwinked, you've been led astray by a man in a nice suit who can barely get a sentence out of his mouth without stuttering and stammering unless he has a teleprompter in front of him. Now, let's move on. I'll be right back after this brief commercial message.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. CeeLo, Cel-O, wrote in the chat room just a moment ago, what does his stammer have to do with how good or bad he's running the country? Well, nothing. Nothing at all. It has something to do with the fact that he's an incompetent moron who can't seem to string a sentence together without a teleprompter, which in turn speaks to his able to string a sentence together. He's the president of the United States. One would think he could put a coherent sentence together without some metaphor about a car being in the ditch or a tasty popsicle treat or a Band-Aid ripping off or eating peas. The only time this president seems to be able to open his mouth and string a coherent sentence together is when he has a teleprompter in front of him. And my main man, George W. Bush, was vilified in the press daily whenever he made the simplest of grammatical errors. So now it's my turn, Cel-O. It's my turn. If George W. Bush can be made fun of when he was president of the United States for the slightest error in speech, now I can do the same for this clown, this imbecile of a president, Barack Hussein Obama, who is not smarter than my dog. My dog is smarter than Barack Hussein Obama. And I can tell you that for a fact. The guy is where we were. In 2009, the Democrats' massively unsuccessful $787 billion stimulus bill was peddled as a way to keep unemployment under 8%. When the number of unemployed exceeded 10%, the administration moved the goalpost, telling Americans that the effects of the stimulus would improve the job picture by 2010 to mid-2011. But the rate of unemployment increased again in May and in June 2011. At the same time earlier, rosier Labor Department job growth estimates were being discounted. Things in America are far worse than this government will admit, worse than the Obama administration can admit going into a presidential election year. But, the top administration advisor, David Pollack, has acknowledged that the economy belongs to Obama and the Democrats. Finally, admitting that the economy is no longer George W. Bush's fault, but now it belongs to Barack Obama. Not only has Obama taken difficult economic times and made them far worse, he and the Democrats proposed to enact a tax increase and double down on the spending policies that prolonged and deepened the recession. Is this guy an idiot? Come on. How do you do that? Unless you're intentionally attempting to wreck the economy and bring the United States of America to its knees, or you're just dumb. Which one is it? Is the guy stupid, or is he just stubborn, or is all this intentional? Can somebody answer that for me? I'll ask Mays. Mays, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I still had another question for you.
Let me ask you this, though. Is Obama intentionally attempting to wreck the United States economy, or is he just a moron?
It was wrecked before he got there. I want to ask you about this war crime stuff. Do you think they're going to find him guilty?
Find who guilty?
The ones that they got up for war crimes.
Who are they?
And Rumsfeld and Tenet. They got them up for war crimes. You didn't see it on the news yesterday?
Who, Mays?
Who
is up from war crimes? I'm sounding like a damn owl here. Who?
Ben Bush, Cheney.
Oh,
Rumsfeld,
that's silly. Oh,
yeah,
that's just crazy talk.
What's
that's just more crazy talk.
They can't leave the country. They can't
We'll see how all that works out.
I'm asking you a question. You
like
know,
I said, just try to take Bush into custody or Cheney or anybody else. We're talking World War III. Game over. Asses will be kicked.
Okay.
All right? Now, that's enough of that. So, now, I really do appreciate you, Mays. I love you. I'm glad you call in. I'm glad you listen. But, come on. Are you kidding me? Not only has Obama taken the difficult times and made them worse, one wonders if he's doing it all on purpose. Now, for Republicans, if they want to extend their majority and win the Senate and the White House, Republicans must resist tax increases, hold firm on genuine spending reductions, effectively present their case to the American people, and allow the election of 2012 to sort out the rest. Obama wishes to be seen as above politics, the adult in the room, the man who's telling us to take the Band-Aid off and eat our peas. Such a genius. Because the Republicans are just a bunch of squabbling preschoolers. He steps into policy disputes late, when he steps in at all, placing himself between anonymous straw men at both extremes. The guy is an idiot. He is not a leader. Take it from somebody who knows what a leader of men is. Yes, me. Barack Hussein Obama is not a leader of men. He is an unqualified idiot. This is what happens when you elect this kind of person to the presidency of the United States, having no idea what he's doing at all. Cell O writes, all of these figures and hoopla around the stimulus bill and economy all come from Wall Street being given the green light to run amok without regulation. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, Phil O wrote that. I don't even know where to start. Cello writes, why would Obama get into office and want to totally mess up his time in history? What you just said was a crock. Good night. Cello, Obama has no idea what he's doing. He doesn't know. He's an idiot. And he can always blame somebody else, which is what he's been doing since his first day in office. If America collapses into utter chaos and despair, economically and otherwise, he'll just blame somebody else, which is what he does best. No leader does that. No leader places blame on anybody else. No matter what you say, Cello, you cannot refute the fact that a leader takes responsibility. He does not lay blame on anyone else, ever. That's leadership 101. But this clown will blame everybody. For the jobless figures, the latest jobless figures of 9.2%, he blamed the weather. He blamed hurricanes and tsunamis and natural disasters, he said, had a lot to do with it. He blamed other people. He blamed inanimate objects. How embarrassing. Barack Obama blamed inanimate objects and the weather as to why our economy is bad, why there is 9.2% employment in the United States of America. Bad weather. This is from a guy who is supposed to be from Chicago, Illinois, my hometown. If a bad economy can be blamed for, if weather can be blamed for bad economy, Chicago should have ceased to exist a long time ago. What an idiot. Yes, I am name calling because I can. I am beside myself with grief because the president of the United States is an idiot. And it is embarrassing to me, as it should be to you. Suicide is painless, but damn. All right. I want to thank everybody who came in the room to listen, even you, Cello. Thank you all for being here. Beach Bum, Antoinette, Cello, Southern Sense, Karen, everybody, Richard, thank you for being here. All my guests, I do appreciate it. I thank you once again for taking time out of your busy evenings, all the things you could be doing, coming to listen to my show and participate. I thank you very much for doing so. I hope y'all have a wonderful evening. Come back tomorrow. We're going to talk more about that moron. And for Barack Hussein Obama, maybe I'll change it up and we'll talk about something else.
Good night. Very deep beneath the stone. And the valley before, they have it for the very own.
Go ahead.
Man has done